Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 11 through 18. And I've entitled this evening's message, let's go there right now, No One Seeks After God. No one seeks after God. And let me just say this for a moment, saints of God, before we pray. We're living in a time that Jesus said we would see. And I truly believe everything's converging, just like the Word of God has prophesied it would take place. And I believe it's our generation. I believe we're called what's called the terminal generation. And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace, and then we're going to get right into this Bible study, and we're going to ask God to illuminate us, to give us more understanding, more wisdom from His Word, that He would be glorified and magnified and high lifted up. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I'm asking now, God, that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And so once again, my friends, I've entitled this evening's message, No One Seeks After God. No one. And so I got this title out of the book of Romans because we're going to see clearly that until God quickens us, until God touches our innermost being, we will remain dead in our spiritual state. Meaning, we come into this world physically alive, but spiritually dead. And it's but the grace of God. It's about the mercy of God. It's about God, before the foundation of the world, spoke this whole entire world into existence. And guess what? He already knew your name. He knows the day that you would come to Him when He quickened us. And we're going to see in Scripture how this unfolds, how this plays out, how it applies to our life. Because right now, this nation is in total chaos. Right now, they're bombarding us in all the commercials and all the sitcoms and all these things about the alternative lifestyle, which we call an abomination in the Word of God. And so we're going to see how God and His finite an infinite mind, how He deals with our finite mind. See, He's infinite, meaning He was there before He spoke everything into existence. Isn't that a blessing, saints of God? Isn't that a blessing to know that God had already you and me in mind, and He knew the day we would come to Him through faith by His grace, and that we would be saved. Praise God. So, are we there? Romans, let's go there right now. And the Word of God reads in verse 11, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Verse 14 through 18. Whose mouth is what? Full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Did you catch that with me, saints? There is no fear of God before their eyes. Wow. Wow. So, are you ready to break this down? Let's go now to verse 11 and let's do an expository teaching in the book of Romans chapter 3 verses 11 through 18. And it reads, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. Did you catch that, saints? There's none. There's none. Where did Paul get this idea? Did he just pull it out of thin air? No. Paul was always looking to the Old Testament to confirm what God had spoken and how the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. You see, you and I, we're not accidents, but we are all preordained by God. God knew the day that we would come to Him. He knew the day that we would be quickened by His Spirit and that we would be drawn to the cross and embrace Him. Praise God. Praise God. But Paul used references that came from the Old Testament. Let's go there right now in Psalms 14, 1 and 2. Look at this. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. Kind of sounds like our day right now, doesn't it? There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Did you catch that, saints? Did you catch that? You see, my friends, seeking is a way of expressing what is most important to us, to you and I. And this kind of seeking means training ourselves to turn to God first for help, to fill our thoughts with His desires, to take His character for our pattern, and to serve and obey Him in everything. Let me just say this, saints of God. I got saved at the age of 30, but prior to that whole life, from birth to 30, I lived a rebellious life. I did not care to follow orders. I did not obey my parents. I did not obey law enforcement. I did not obey my school and my teachers and my principals. All these things that I was rebellious to. And God's word is clear. You see, that takes place in the natural man. You see, the Bible says, before you come into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the culture, the people you hang with, the people that run the streets, they will be your most highest influence in your life. And that's what happened. My father, unfortunately, was never there for us, and praise God. He did everything he could to supply, to feed us, to clothe us, to shelter us. But he was only an E4 in the Navy, which is a very low pay grade. And he was out 6 months at a time, out in Westpac, doing tours in Vietnam and places like that. And my mom struggled. She had to find 2-3 jobs. And there was 11 of us. I want you to get a hold of this. We had a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 11 brothers and sisters at one time living in that house, 1927 Orange Street in National City, and we had our grandmother. So you could imagine how spread out we were. And we were basically termed living in poverty. It was one little income coming in, and we were all kids. And so we didn't have our father there to nurture us in a godly manner. And my mother grew up Catholic, didn't understand the Word of God. So it was not her fault that she couldn't expound these things to us. And so we basically raised ourselves. We allowed the culture. We allowed the influence of the street. We allowed our peers to be a strong influence in our lives. And that led to a life of rebellion. And God's word is clear that until He comes and intercepts our life, we will remain in that state. I want to praise God and worship Him for the rest of my life here on earth. Why? Because He came in a time in my life where I was about to destroy my life. That's right. Addicted to crystal meth and cocaine and marijuana and alcohol, living a life of a violent life, going with friends and parties and having gang fights and things in that nature. It was a life that was not pleasing to God. But God, hallelujah, in His grace and His mercy, intercepted and came and intervened on my behalf to stop me from destruction. And many of you can honestly say that if it wasn't for God to come into your life, you would probably be in the same predicament. Can I get an amen? I'm here to let you know that God is good. God is love. God will always pursue us until we take our last breath here on this earth. God's will is that none should perish, but that all should come into a place of repentance. You see, God had given me a heart to repent. God had allowed me to see my sin. God had allowed me to see the error of my way. God is the one that showed me all the fallacy. He showed me all my rebellious lifestyle. He showed me the things that I did not learn to honor Him. And yet it was God's grace that still saved me. Because He saw years later that He could use a life just like mine. And let me just say this. God wants to use your life in no different manner. He wants to use you the same way like He's been using me. All you have to do is surrender to Him. Yield to His loving grace. Yield to His mercy. Yield to His love. Yield to His goodness. And let me show you. He'll show you great and mighty things to come. He has shown me wonderful things. He has given me a wife that loves Him. He has given me a occupation, an industry that I can use to supply all of the needs to our family that He has given me. He took me out of the street life. He took me out of the labor life. And He has given me a professional job. Man, that's the grace of God. That's God's mercy. You see, but I had to learn one thing. I had to learn how to love Him. Before He blessed me with my beautiful wife, I had to first learn to love Him before I can love one of His children. And that was but the grace of God. And so 10 years after my first wife put me away because of my rebellious life, because my life of debauchery, I did it to myself. I can't blame the first wife. I can't. It was all on me. It was my way or the highway back then. But God did the miraculous. God saved me. And even though God didn't allow the reconciliation to take place with the first wife, He prepared a wife that had His heart and that would have a heart for the ministry. And this is why Amazing Grace has been around for 15 years. Why? Because He put our hearts together with Him in the center. And now we can learn through faults and failures like everyone else. We learn to love Him, to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus, to continue to worship and praise Him, to continue to serve Him, and to love Him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. That's what He has done in my life and the life of my wife, and we are so blessed. We are so blessed. Amen. So let's continue on. I had to stop and pause and share the goodness of God. So let's go to the next verse. Verse 11. Look at this. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Did you catch that, saints of God? The Bible says there is none that does good. You see, we cannot do anything without God coming into our life. That's right. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. We have inherited Adam and Eve's fall. And so this is why we live a certain amount of years and we go back to the dust. But I'm here to let you know, soon and very soon, Jesus is going to come for His bride. And this is why at the end and the conclusion, I will share with you once again. And God told me to repeat this at the very end of every sermon. Remind them that I'm coming in the clouds to take His bride home. So they have all turned aside, verse 12. Let's go back and read this for a moment. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good, no, not one. Did you catch that? You see, the phrase, all have turned away from God, all have gone wrong, is from the book of Psalms. That's right. Paul knew where to reference this. You see, my friends, the failure to see God does not leave a person immobilized. Rather, it sets him or her on a course of destruction. And whatever does not include the seeking of God, it ends up leading people in the wrong direction. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let's look at the Word of God and let me prove it. It says right here in Psalms 14:3, they have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. You see, Paul wasn't just coming out of thin air with this. This was already prophesied thousands of years prior to Paul. You see, my friends, John the Baptist was another gentleman, another forerunner before the Lord came the first time. And John the Baptist was an awesome forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. John paved the way over 2,000 years ago, preaching and teaching men and women to repent. What was the reason? For the kingdom of God was at hand. Let's look at this in Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying. Look at this. Crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, you and I, God has given us that same office of John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness. God wants you and me to open our mouth and to cry aloud and to tell our family members, our friends, our co-workers, those in school to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We are to tell them that God loves them, that God does not wish that anyone should perish, but that all would come to repentance. The prerequisite for salvation is repentance. And when you cry out to God and seek God with a heart of repentance, God will do something supernatural in your life. God will raise you from your dead state. God will give you a new walk. God will give you a new talk. God will clothe you in His righteousness. God will wash you in His blood. God will fill you with His Spirit of promise. God will then remove you from this earth before the wrath of God comes. And let me just say this, the wrath of God is soon to come. We see the chaos in our world. We see people dying in our streets, being shot to death. 50 a week in Chicago alone, hallelujah, are shooting. And now the laws do not allow police to chase after them. We are living in a time of lawlessness. We are living in a time where there is gross iniquity. We're living in a time where every commercial, every other commercial now is showing you right in your face that it's okay with the LGBTQ and all them groups that are an abomination of God. Saints of God, we need to wake up and smell the coffee. We are living in the end times right now. God is about ready to remove His church, and God is about ready to pour out the wrath. Why? Because God said that in the last days, in Matthew 24, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be those that will be deceived. There will be those that say, here I am, Jesus is over here, and it's a false fire. There is no power. There is no authority from God's word. There is no presence of God, and people are flocking out to them in groves. Jesus said in the last days that there would be an apostasy. And right now, there are many that are leaving the faith, that have been walking with the power and the anointing, and they have walked away from their gift. They have walked away from their call, and they're chasing either after a false gospel, or they're no longer in church to receive instruction from God anymore. Saints of God, we are living in that time. We're living in the days that Jesus said would be like Lot and Noah. Lot's day was so perverse that God had to rain down fire and brimstone and remove Lot out. Lot is a picture of the church being rescued from the judgment. And Noah's day was very violent, and we're seeing violence through our street. We're seeing mass murderers, and we're seeing people with lawlessness and tension. And right now, we are a witness to all these things that Jesus said. Jesus said there will be earthquakes in various places. Just the past 3 weeks, there were 10,000 earthquakes in the North Pole region. That's right, my friends. No one's preaching about this and teaching about this. Why? Because we don't want to scare no one. Well, I'm here to let you know, hallelujah, that we are living in the times that Jesus said, this is the time to prepare. This is the time to proclaim. This is the time to let others know that the King is soon to come to take his bride home. My friends, we need to be about our Father's business. We need to get right or get left. This is not a political slogan. Hallelujah. Getting right with God or getting left behind. Hallelujah. And endure the wrath that's coming. My goodness. But God said in his word that those who are his, the true remnant church, born again, washed in the blood, they have repented of their sins. They're filled with the Holy Ghost of promise. Those are the ones, hallelujah, that God is going to cover us. God is going to remove us before the wrath of God comes. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on, somebody got to give God praise and glory. Why? Because God has called us for such a time as this. God wants to save you. God called you to be a mouthpiece, to be an ambassador for him. We are the ones that God has sent out, hallelujah, to tell a dying world that he's about ready to return and that they need to seek God with their whole heart, soul, and mind. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 13. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced what? Deceit. Wow. The poison of asps is under their lips. My goodness, my goodness. Isn't that a witness? Isn't that a witness? That scripture is such a huge witness. And I'll tell you why. Have you ever been around unsaved people on the job? Maybe even family that come together for birthday parties or whatever. And you can tell by their language whether they know Christ or not, whether they're born again. Some of them will have explicit language. Bleepity, bleepity, bleep. And then Jesus Christ will come out. You know they're not saved because they wouldn't use God's name in vain. And you see in Hollywood, you see this kind of language. It's poison, like the Word of God says. Their mouth is an open tomb full of vulgar. Why? Because God is not living inside them. And I love Paul. Paul always referenced the Old Testament to identify what's taking place now and even in our day. Can I get an amen? Look at this for a moment. Let's go here in Psalms 5, 9 through 10. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Did you catch that, saints of God? Let me just pause there for a moment. See, this statement that their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave, my goodness, this is what God is and Paul the Apostle is referring to. Look at this right here. It says, their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled, what? Against you. You see, let me just say this. No one's going to get away with anything that they have done to violate the law of God and to violate the grace of God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God's going to remember each and every one of them. You may say, well, man, you know, this person lives next door to me. You know, they have the best cars. You know, they got a swimming pool. They got this and that, you know, and they don't even serve God. Yet I hear their parties and their mouths and just the lewd things that come out. Listen, just pray that they get saved. That's all. You don't have to downcast them. You don't even have to judge them. God will be the final judge. And if they die in their sin, they will be dropped into the lake of fire with the false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan himself. But that's why God has called us to preach, to sow, to plant seeds, and to water. But only God can give the increase. So God is looking for you and I, hallelujah, to be the salt and light. So that the day they see God face to face, they will be face to face with God, and they will have no excuse. Why? Because God will bring back to their mind when you came and preached to them, or when someone came to preach to them. There'll be no excuses. God will have justified his decision about where they will end up. My goodness, pray for them, pray for them. You see, saints of God, Jesus made it clear that the indications of sinfulness come from inside of us. Oh, yes, it does. It comes from within. It comes automatically. Did you know this is something that it's not taught? Being rebellious, being sinful. We're born with that nature. Look at this. Look at this in Matthew. Matthew 15, 8 through 11. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Look at the verse 9. And vain in their worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Look at this. And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Did you catch that, saints of God? Huh? Did you catch that? You see, it's already in there. To be rebellious, to be vulgar, to use language that's inappropriate. It's already in there. Jesus already knew the hearts of men and women. Did you know? I'm just going to share this quick example. Did you know that it's 18 inches the distance between heaven and hell? What are you talking about, preacher? Yeah, the distance is 18 inches. Well, how do you come up with this? From your heart, let's just say your heart, to your mouth is 18 inches. So if you profess Christ, if you repent and call upon the name of the Lord, hallelujah, God will come in and reside in your heart. But if God is not in your heart, living inside you, you will perish in your sin. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You see, saints, up until this verse, the evidence of rebellion had been mainly evident between a person and God. Here, Paul begins to point out that sinfulness corrupts human relationships too. The gift of communication becomes twisted into a weapon to deceive others. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And so, my friends, let's move on to the teaching in verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, as I just mentioned. Cursing and bitterness. And so, saints, as born again believers, cursing and bitterness should not be mentioned among us anymore. Can I get an amen? It shouldn't. Why? Because God has transformed us. God has given us a new nature. God has said, behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you truly get saved, born from above, he gives you a new nature. And that's the nature of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's right. He starts to transform your mind by the reading and the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. That's right. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, God tells us, hallelujah, to transform our mind, to renew our mind by the teaching and reading of the Word. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. My goodness, my goodness. You see, my friends, from Psalms 10:7 comes the picture of sinful people's mouth full of cursing and bitterness. Eventually, rebellion against God shows itself by tainting the way a person speaks, as I mentioned earlier. Cursing and bitterness may strike us first as offensive expressions, but they are also clues about a person's inward condition. Oh, that's right. That's the tale of the tale. Right there, their language, their mannerism. You'll know when you're in the presence of someone that knows Jesus, because you'll have a koinonia spirit. You'll have something so in common that you can just talk about God all day long. But someone that's unsaved, you can't share the things. Jesus said it's like throwing your pearls before a swine. I know that's harsh, but it's true. Unbelievers have no desire to be in the Word of God, to be in the presence of God, to be in a church setting. No, they don't. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. That's right. Look what King David wrote in Psalms right here. Let's go to Psalms right here. Psalms 10, 3 through 4, and then we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. Look at this. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is none of his thoughts. Wow. Wow. Did you catch that? That's God's word. This is not me saying all these things. God has already said, because God has already read our hearts before we come into the saving knowledge. The natural man, the unregenerated person who does not know God. And many of you, and I know many people that fit right here in this model right here. That's right. Some of them are real close to you. You may know them very, very well. And yet, but you also know that they don't serve God. They have no desire for God. Well, God is telling us why. Because they're not saved, they're unregenerated, and they need God to spiritually have them come alive. Let's look at 6 and 7. Let's look at here. Look at this. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. Did you catch that? This is where Paul is getting all this. That's right. Look what also was written in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, now this is an exhortation to you and I, as born again believers, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Praise God. Let me just pause there. You and I, as saints of God, we are now hidden in Christ. He is our shelter. He has become our Father. We are grafted in by faith. So He has adopted you and I. We are His children now. So He has full authority over our life. So if we know that we're hidden in Christ, embrace the things of God. Be in Bible study. Be around the saints of God. Be around the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Learn to serve God in any capacity, whether it's ushering or greeting, whether it's being on a worship team, a bus driver, a Sunday school teacher. Learn to embrace those little things. And let me just say this. If you're faithful in the little things, He will allow you to be faithful in even to the larger things that He will bring to your life. Can I get an amen? Let's go back to this word right here. Look at this. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. This is when He returns for us. Look at this. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. Now, God is saying to do this as believers, not as unbelievers, but as believers. He said this, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of what? Disobedience. Wow. Look at this. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Okay. So God is making it clear. For the child of God, like you and I, we have been transformed. We no longer walk in this way. Praise God. This is more specific to the unbeliever. Look at verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. What are we to put off? You and I. Put off anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his what? Deeds. Praise God. Look at this. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, meaning Jew or Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't that a blessed to know that, saints of God? Well, let's move on to verse 15. In Romans chapter 3, look at this. Their feet are swift to shed blood. What? My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. That's right. Saints of God, as I mentioned earlier, we're living in a time of wickedness. There are murders throughout this nation every day. People are walking into schools and mowing them down. They're walking into concerts and mowing them down. Chicago and Washington and Seattle and Indianapolis and all these other places, people are being murdered day in and day out. We're living in a time of lawlessness, and we need God. We need God to help us, saints of God. That's right. This is why the church needs to pray. The church needs to bring back the glory and the power, that when we preach the word of God, it will be with power and with authority and with anointing. For the anointing will come and destroy the yokes. But there has to be preached repentance, to turn from your wicked ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Can I get an amen, saints? You see, Paul referenced many times in the book of Isaiah, and it states that rebellion against God leads to violence against others. The shameful milestones of history are marked with bloodstains from the atrocities committed by those who freed themselves from God. There is always talk of peace, but apart from God, there could be no real peace. That's why it's written right here. Let's look at this for a moment. In Isaiah 59, 1 through 7, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ears heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will what? Not hear. Are you catching this at all, saints of God? Look at this in verse 3. For your hands are defiled with blood. Let me just pause this right here. You can point to the abortion clinics. 70 million babies, their blood has been shed on the killing of these poor babies. And their blood is crying out from the ground. That's right. This is why God is going to harshly judge our nation. And that is going to be the final judgment that will take it over, that will cross the line with God. God knows the number. God is not asleep. He's not on vacation. He's not taking a siesta. But God ultimately will judge this land for the shedding of innocent blood. Let's go back here to the word. Let's go back here. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered what? Perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies. From that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Wow. Let me pause there again. All these prosperity gospels about a better you. Be a better you. And give to the tilt. Give all that you have. And while these false teachers are living high on a hog, God eventually will cause those ministries to collapse. Why? Because they didn't tell the truth to the people to repent of their sins. They were afraid to tell them that fornication and adultery is a sin before God. They didn't want to tell people that homosexuality is an abomination and transgenderism is an abomination. They didn't want to tell people. Matter of fact, there's churches now that have embraced that, and there are now homosexual teachers and preachers that have embraced the culture, changing the word of God to of no effect. We need help, saints of God. We really need help. Let's go back here. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, and destruction are in their paths. Wow. There it is. God already prophesied this thousands of years later, and he's referring it to our day and time now. We're living in that culture. Aren't you disgusted? Aren't you tired? Aren't you just flabbergasted when you see commercials and sitcoms going into your local bank and on big giant LED screens that we are to embrace now the abominations? Lord, help us. Help us, God. Help us, God. So let's move on to verse 16. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Are in their ways. This is what's taking place in our nation. It's destructive and it's causing misery along the way. Look what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, 6 through 8. Because for every matter there is a time in judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. For he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? I want you to catch this, my friends. No one has the power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has the power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. Did you catch that? In other words, God's going to deal with these folks harshly once he takes the church home. Look what it says in Proverbs 17. An evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Wow. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. Did you catch that, saints? All these people that are coming up with all this evil in our land, God is going to deal with them harshly. Let's move on now to verse 17 as we're coming in for a close. And the way of peace they have not known. They have not known why. Because they're wallowing in sin, these people. And there is no rest for the sinner. And God will allow them to go through misery until he brings them to a place of repentance. And hopefully they will come to that place. But look what it says in Isaiah right here. Let's go there to Isaiah. Isaiah 48, 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. What? It's right there clearly in the Word. This is not Pastor Fee making this up. I'm giving you truth from the Word of God. I'm letting you know how God sees things through his Word. And if you either believe him or you don't, that's the bottom line. For tonight, I am just the mailman delivering the mail. It's up to you to read the mail and to receive it. I'm hoping you receive it and you see clearly that God's word will not come back void. God is not like a man who can lie. He is full of truth, grace, and mercy. And he is the light of the world. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, you and I, we're exhorted to have God's peace reign and rule in our hearts always. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Oh, yes. Because the Word of God exhorts us to. Let's look at this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, say that with me, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, mean patience with others, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. That's the problem with the church today. There are people in church that cannot forgive someone that has wronged them. God said, let it go. Don't let it hinder your walk with Christ. Forgive them. Let it go. Let God deal with those people who have wronged you. God will deal with them. But for you and I, we are to live in God's grace and mercy, and we are to press. We are to lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. We are to press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. My friends, we don't have time to be upset. We don't have time to be angry. We don't have time to be unforgiving. This is the time to get right with God. Why? Because he's about ready to return. Let's go back and finish this scripture. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Verse 14. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. What? To the Lord. My goodness. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Wow. Wow. Wow, my friends. And we're going to break down our last verse here. Verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. There's not. There's not, my friends. That's right. Once again, quoting from the book of Psalms, Psalms 36, 1 through 4, Paul referred this. Look at this. Psalms 36, 1 through 4, and this was written by King David, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see that? For he flatters himself in his own eyes. And when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, look at this. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his own bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Did you catch that, my friends? Huh? Did you catch that? You see, this is the day and the time that we live in. So many men and women are scheming up. They're in the media. They're in the news. They're creeping into the churches with all these wicked schemes being constructed, being conceived in their mind through an evil heart and a bad intent. To deceive the masses, to deceive even us, the born-again church. You see, saints, Paul states the bottom line condition of these people. They have no fear of God to restrain them. That's right. And to fear the Lord is to recognize God for who He is. He's holy, almighty, righteous, pure, all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-wise. And when you and I regard God correctly, we gain a clear picture of ourselves, of being sinful and weak and frail and needy. How many of you believe that we need God? I need God every day. I need Him when I wake up. When I wake up, I praise Him. I thank Him for another new day. I walk in. My wife's already up. I tell her I love her. Praise God, He has given us a new day, another day. We are to use that day for His glory. And when we recognize, saints of God, who God is and who we are, we will fall at His feet in humble respect. Only then He will show us how to choose His way through a life of humility. That's right, friends. Paul's brief tour of truth ends almost in a full circle. That's right. He began with the fact that there was no one like God who is righteous. And he ends with the parallel truth of that we lack fear of God. And some people lack this fear out of ignorance, while others through familiarity with God, they lose the sense of humble awe that ought to characterize a person's attitude before God. And so, saints of God, in closing, we all know soon and very soon, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's going to come for His church. Don't let what we see now disturb you in the culture and the times that we live in, because Jesus already forewarned us that this day would come. And it's now before us. It's right in our grill. It's right before our face. That should bring great joy, knowing that soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. And we're going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds forevermore. How many can't wait for that time? I can't. What I just showed you is the truth of the Word of God. And we're seeing it now in the time that we live in. So God is saying, prepare, 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 prepare your heart, prepare your family, prepare your home, that Jesus is soon to return. And when He comes, it's outlined in the Word of God. Look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus, meaning those who have died already in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another. I can't wait, saints of God, because it's about ready to take place. And guess what? One of the greatest miracles is you and I that will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's right. We will do away with these bodies of flesh, and He will give us a body to live throughout eternity, to live with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Aren't you so blessed to know that whatever sickness and affliction that you battle with on a day-to-day basis, we will no longer have that same body. We will have the resurrected body like His. That's right. Look what it says in God's Word. In 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, He goes on to say, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the last shofar blast. For the trumpet, the shofar will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible, that's our human body that we have now, is very sinful. Must put on incorruption, a body without any sin that will not die. And this mortal must put on immortality, so this new body will live forever. It'll be immortal. So when this corruptible, the body we live in now, puts on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Aren't you so blessed? Come on, you got to be blessed to know that that's what God has prepared for you. But let me just say this. Those of you who may have logged on, maybe those of you who are watching are not truly born again. Well, God said to repent, to cry out, to turn from your sin, recognize that you have sinned before a holy God and that we need Jesus as our Savior. Cry out to Him, allow Him to wash you in His blood, and then He will fill you with this Holy Spirit of promise, and then He will grant you eternal life. And when He comes, right before the trumpet blast, we will be changed and we will be like Him. Because, my friends, if you haven't made that transition from darkness to light with the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let this happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
Wow. Let me just say this, my friends. For every thing that God says needs to be fixed in our life. He has resolution. That's right. He has a remedy. He has a remedy for our sin. That's right. And the key word, which churches fail to use anymore, is to repent. The very first sermon given is found in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room in Jerusalem on 120 that were in that upper room. And Peter, the apostle, who was just a normal fisherman, he didn't go to Bible college. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't go to all that. He was street raised by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. And God filled him with power and anointing. Remember, he ran away from a child and he denied Jesus 3 times. But when he got filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, he was bold in his faith and he preached his very first sermon. Look what he preached right here. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." There it is. There it is, my friends. That's right. It's all right there. And God is saying to repent. Listen. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now, if you're watching for the first time, to bow your heart and your head with me. Allow me to lead you in a simple prayer, but cry out to God in a heart of repentance and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you, God, that I'm a sinner. And I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. Someone just gave their heart to Jesus. And if that's you, right down below is our website. We'd like to connect with you. Log on. Our email's there. Our phone number's there. And let me just say this. We want to get a Bible to you. We want to point you to a good church. If you're living here locally in San Diego County, we'd love to invite you out at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. We will be there this Sunday at 10:30. Live in person, praise God, and we look forward to seeing you. And come on out. Some of you have logged on and been with us on live stream, but have not yet been there in our live in-person service on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I want to encourage you to come out. Come out and make a cameo appearance. Amen. Don't worry. I won't say anything other than just give you a hug when the service is over. I won't put you on the spot. But just come out and worship the King with us and praise Him and glorify Him and thank God that He has kept you through this past plague that we were just in. And also, I want to give a big shout out to those who continue to support our ministry. Many of you have been wonderful, just awesome saints of God who has given toward this ministry. And you too, if you have not, there's our website down below. There's a link on our website, and donations are deeply appreciated. So, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship family, we want to sign off and say we love you, and I want to send out our benediction, as I normally do, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, God bless you. We love you. We can't wait to see you Sunday morning at 10:30 at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. We're located in beautiful Benita, California, 5305 Sweetwater Road. Love you. God bless you. And thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.